Well, if you can turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians, and I'm going to jump straight into it. It is 11:10, so we don't have heaps of time. And I'm going to try and maybe take a little bit of extra time, but it's good for us to pay attention to God's Word as we begin this year. So Colossians chapter 2, and I'm going to really focus on verses 6 and 7, where he says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." Right? And I want to be able to just focus our attention on these two verses this morning. I think it's a great way for us to begin the year by readjusting the focus of our lives. By readjusting the focus of our lives. You know, when I was a little boy, my parents got me a magnifying glass. And apart from looking at the lines on my fingers, you know, just seeing how it was going and all of those things, which is one of the things we do, or looking at little mosquitoes or flies and examining their wings and their feet or whatever, their tentacles and all of those things, I also used the magnifying glass. My dad taught me this, to focus on a piece of paper. Ever done that? Right? You focus it on a piece of paper. The sunlight, you know, through the magnifying glass, focused on a piece of paper, what happens? It begins to smoke. It catches fire. But you can't, it will not catch fire if the light is not focused to a really, really tiny, small little dot on that piece of paper. If it's just generally sort of spread out, nothing will happen. But the minute you kind of really focus it in, it begins to smoke. Don't tell your children this, or at least be with them when they do this. You know, don't do this at home. I should give you a warning over here. But that's what I used to do. And it was always an exciting thing to do that. I tried it on my skin also once, and that burns you. It really does. But you kind of understand what's going on, right? I remember a saying on a pastor's wall. It said this. It says, if you want your life to have impact, focus it. If you want your life to have impact, focus it. And that reminds me of water also. Water, when it kind of splashes, it just kind of, you know, it can hit an object. But if you focus water through a very fine jet, it can cut through the strongest of concrete as well. Focused water, right? Interesting. If you want your life to have impact, you got to focus it. Now, the truth is that we all focus on the things we like. All of us have focus, just on different things maybe, right? Things that we're interested in. For the Christian, though, if your life has to have a God-honoring and Christ-glorifying impact, you need to focus it on God, on Christ. Let me say that again. For a Christian, if your life has to have a God-honoring and Christ-glorifying impact, if that's the goal of your life, and you say, that's what I want from my life, then you can't focus it on everything else. You've got to focus it on the things that God wants you to focus it on. And so we want to focus it on Christ, the person of Christ. Paul will come back again and again in Colossians. If you read through it, he comes back to Jesus. He comes back to him. He says, you know, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Focus on him. Focus on him. Have your attention on him. And so the focus of your life as a believer is to deepen and strengthen your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you got to do this year. Focus on deepening and strengthening your relationship with Jesus, and the impact God will take care of. There will be an impact. It will affect your peace of mind. It will affect your relationships around you. It will affect your work and how you handle difficult situations. God, that will be a fruit of the focus that you have on deepening and strengthening your relationship with the Lord Jesus. Now, I want you to turn your attention to this couple of verses over here, just for our attention this morning. And I want you to notice some of the things that Paul says over here, right? He begins in verse 6. He says, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord." Now, let's just stop there for a moment. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord. We've got to ask over here, what does it mean to receive Christ? Well, to receive Christ very simply means to for us to be able to place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks to that moment when God enlightened us through His Spirit and brought us, you know, changed us from the inside out and birthed a faith in Him so that we were able to trust in Jesus wholeheartedly. Maybe you can even just call it conversion, that moment where I began my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means, right? Just as you received Christ at that beginning moment when that happened, it means that we recognize that we are part of a sinful and fallen creation separated from God, and that only through Christ can we be reconciled to Him. And so when we place our faith in Jesus, we are reconciled unto God. That's how we receive Christ. And so I ask you this morning, have you received Jesus in faith? You know, the Christian is nothing without faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, you aren't a Christian if you don't live by faith in Jesus. It's really as simple as that. Christianity is not about the things we do, about going to church and giving an offering and singing songs and all of those things. It's not about those religious practices, so to speak. It is about a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's really what it is about. And so, religion makes all these things we do the end. If I go to church, I'm a Christian. That's the end, right? But for the Christian, those things are a means to an end. They're a means to an end. The end being a relationship with God through Jesus. So now what's going to help me get there is going to church and reading the scriptures and fellowshipping with believers and worshiping. These are the means to an end. But the goal is to know Him. That's what Paul says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Amazing. That's the goal, right? And so I ask you again, have you received Jesus in faith? In faith. And then Paul says over here, he says, I want you to just look at this again. He says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord. I want you to think back to the time when you did receive Christ Jesus the Lord. And many of you have, years and years ago probably. What was it like? What was it like? I remember, you know, hearing from Brother Dinesh also, Pastor Dinesh, several times of his testimony when he came to faith and the kind of zeal and enthusiasm it birthed in him to read the scriptures and the hunger that he had for God's word and for God's people and Christian fellowship and all of these things. Remember that? That those great early spiritual desires that you had for God. That's what Paul is saying over here. In the same way, that same zeal and enthusiasm that you had when you first came to Christ, continue in that. Continue in that. One of the things that happens when we get familiar with something is that we sort of begin to wane in our interest for that thing, right? We maybe take it for granted. When you first meet the person you're going to marry, my goodness, there's butterflies in your stomach, your words don't come out right, you're blushing, you're smiling from cheek to cheek, and you know, there's just, every time you see them, there's such an excitement, and then you get married, and it's just such a joyful thing, and then the first week passes. And then familiarity begins to set in, and then the first month, and then the first year, and then suddenly all that initial zeal, you know, it kind of tempers in that way. Now, of course, no one wants to live like they're newly married every time. That would be quite difficult to keep up. But the point over here is that we would still have that same amazement and joy that we first had and not allow it to wane. Absolutely, if you're married, you must enjoy your spouse for the rest of your life with the same kind of desire and joy. And if you're a Christian, you got to walk with God in Christ with the same kind of desire and joy with which you once began. With which you once began. That's what Paul says, right? If you, as you receive Christ Jesus, so walk in Him. And so as we begin 2022, many of us have been, you know, received Christ years ago. Now 2022, he says, continue in the same zeal, continue in the same joy with which you began in the first place. And so it's a fresh opportunity for us. I love New Year for that. It's always a reset button, right? And so you can start afresh and say, okay, I'm going to do it differently this year. So let's observe very quickly what he says over here. The first thing he says, that we would walk in him, right? He says, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, in the same way, continue to walk in him, to walk in him. To walk in him has the idea of an ongoing relationship. Don't walk away from him. Don't stop walking with him, but walk in him. Stay in step with the Lord. To stay in step with the Lord. You know, when Sharon and I go for walks, and we need to revive that this year, New Year's resolution and all, we need to start walking again. But when we go for walks, we try and stay in step with each other. Naturally, we have different paces, different speeds. But part of the enjoyment of the walk is that we stay in step with each other. It would make no sense if we go for a walk together and she's off 20 paces ahead and I'm lagging away somewhere behind, or vice versa, right? It makes no sense. We're not going together then. We're just going on separate walks. But there's something nice about walking together. And so both of us, we adjust our steps and we walk together. You know, and we might go off, you know, rough terrain. We might go on smooth terrain. But we kind of adjust our steps and we stay together. And I think walking in him has the same sort of idea, because I'm walking not just to wander off on my own, but to stay in step with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going somewhere. He's not an aimless leader. He's got purpose, direction, focus in his life. And you and I are called to stay in step with him, to walk with him, to live in an ongoing relationship with him. And so it's something that's not restricted just to Sunday mornings or to a Bible study or a prayer meeting or a life group, but a moment by moment reality of your life. And so John says in 1 John 2:6, he says, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. If you say you abide in him, then you walk in his footsteps, so to speak, right? You walk in the way that he walked. You stick close to him. And so Jesus walked in light. He walked in truth. He walked in love. He walked with a clear focus to do the will of his Father in heaven. And so as you walk with him this year, keep in step with him by walking in the same way in which he walked. You walk in him is what Paul says. Let's go on to the next one. He says over here, rooted in him. So we're walking in him. And how is that? How do we walk in him? By being rooted in him. How do you stay in step with Jesus? By being rooted in him. I like the picture of this. It's a good word picture. You see, the idea of roots communicates life-giving nourishment and stability, doesn't it? Life-giving nourishment and stability. The plant draws its nourishment through its roots that go way down into the soil. You know, when you water a plant, you're supposed to pour water on the soil, not on the leaves. If you just pour water on the leaves, like you just spray a little bit on the leaves, but there's nothing in the soil, the plant will eventually die. You've got to pour water into the soil because the roots draw out that nourishment that give life to the leaves. You've got to put the manure into the soil, right? Because it's from there that the roots draw that nourishment that give fruit to that plant. And then the deeper and thicker the roots are, the more sturdy and strong and robust is the plant. And so for us, Christ is that ever nourishing soil in whom we are rooted. Christ is that ever nourishing soil. He's the kind of soil that never runs out of nutrients. He's that perfect blend in which the roots will draw all the nourishment they need for life. They never run out of nutrients or richness. And so the deeper your walk with Christ, the more fruitful will your life be. The deeper you walk with Christ, the more fruitful will your life be. That's what this word picture communicates, right? If you're rooted in him, the fruit you bear will be healthy and rich and nourishing even other people that's what's going to happen. And so a good way to examine whether or not you're rooted in Christ is to look at the fruit of your life. What kind of fruit is your life bearing? Is the fruit of your life nourishing and deeply satisfying to the people around you? Are others helped and built up by your presence, and do they feel dry and discouraged? Remember when Jesus walked to that fig tree and he didn't see any fruit on it? It didn't nourish him, right, in that moment. And some of us are like the fig tree. No fruit. Year after year, no fruit. And people come around us and they get nothing from us. They're just dry and discouraged by us. There's a lack of fruit in us. And so what keeps coming out of your life is bitterness and anger and envy and jealousy, as opposed to what? The fruit of the Spirit, which is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. I mean, that's going to nourish you, but people around you as well. And so I want you to think about this for a moment. Just say, look, what kind of fruit is my life bearing? And is it nourishing people around me? And if you're honest and you say, you know what, this year, 2021, I've borne very little fruit. In fact, the fruit that I've borne has just been bitterness and anger and jealousy and envy. Then it simply means that your roots are not in Christ. It means that you're not deep in Jesus. You're not walking with Him. You're not drawing out that nourishment from Him. Because if you're focusing on being rooted in Him, the fruit will automatically follow. And so focus on being rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ, drawing out your nourishment from Him, to be vitally connected to Christ, to walk with Him moment by moment. Make this the focus of your life this year and watch the fruit you bear. Watch the fruit you bear. Make that the focus. And so, you know, when you're going through a hard time in your marriage, let's say, and sometimes our focus is all on the marriage itself, right? I got to do this and I got to do this. And what Jesus says, He says, wait a minute, focus on me. Husband, focus on me. Wife, focus on me. Draw your nourishment from your relationship with me and I will take care of your marriage. Isn't that freeing? That's amazingly freeing for us. I don't have to change my spouse. God will change them and God will change me. But my responsibility is to remain focused and rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's going to help me through these situations. It's incredibly freeing for us to be able to do that. So make that the focus of your life. And then He says over here, you know, so walk in Him, rooted in Him. And then He says, built up in Him. And so this is a different word picture over here. The first one is being rooted. The second one is a picture of a building or of architecture, so to speak. Once the foundation is laid, the building is built on top of that foundation. Now the foundation is crucial to the structure and the sturdiness of the building. If your foundation is weak, your building is going to collapse. You know, the taller they build a building, the deeper the foundation has to go in order to hold that building up. It's just the way it works, right? The foundation is crucial. And so if your life could be pictured as a building, the strength and the sturdiness of it would come from the foundation on which it is built. You got that? If your life could be pictured as a building, the strength and the sturdiness of it will come from the foundation on which it's built. Now that reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. He told a parable of two men. One man who built his house on the sand, and when the winds came and the floods rose up, what happened to that house? It washed away. It collapsed because it had no foundation. But then he says there was another man who built his house on a rock, and when the waves came and the winds blew against it, it stood firm because it was built on a solid foundation. Now, what's the foundation Jesus is talking about in Matthew 7? He says this, he says, he who hears my word and does my word is like a man who builds his house on a rock. You got that? He who hears my word and does my word is like a man who builds his house upon the rock. Nothing will shake that kind of a house because it's built on a solid foundation. And so we are built up in him when we hear his word and when we do his word. You know, there are heaps of ideas and thoughts and there's knowledge out there in the world. And it's increased like never before. And everyone thinks they know the truth. And they have some handle on it. You know what Jesus says? He says, I am the truth. I am the truth. My word is truth. Thy word is truth. You can't get away from the scriptures and find truth in that sense. You've got to come back to the scriptures as a foundation for your life. And so this year, focus on that foundation. As you're deepening your roots in Christ, do it by deepening yourself in the Word of God. This is the foundation. Meditate on God's Word. Read God's Word. Follow the plan that we have. Memorize Scripture. Discuss Scripture. Teach Scripture. That's a foundation. And if you build your life on that foundation, you're building it on a rock. You have a strong building that you're building when you build it like that, right? And so, to be built up in him. And then thirdly, he says, to be established in the faith. So walk in him by being firm in the faith, right? Being established in the faith. And so Paul writes over here, he says, and established in the faith, just as you were taught. And so the idea over here is for us to be sure, convinced, firm, established in the faith. You know, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:58, he says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So be steadfast and immovable in your faith. We are deeply rooted. We're built on the foundation of Christ. Now we need to remain firm, sure, convinced of this, of our faith. Absolutely sure of it. This is important because there's so much that assails us, right? There's so much that comes against us in our lives that seeks to confuse us day after day, right? Let me just read a little bit from here. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 14, you know, Paul speaks of little children. And he says, little children are easily led astray. If you've got children, you'll understand that, right? And so that's why they're learning, they're understanding. And so they come to you for wisdom. Mama, tell me about this. Papa, tell me about this, right? They want to understand. But they're also easily led astray because they're little children. And so Paul writes in Ephesians 4:14, he says, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, so that we may no longer be infants in our faith. And what keeps us from being infants in our faith is spiritual growth. If you're growing, you will no longer be tossed to and fro. If we remain, listen to this carefully, if we remain infants in our faith, not childlike, but children, childish in our faith, it is likely that we will be easily led astray from Christ, confused and confounded by every thought and idea around us. Easily. Now, the context of Ephesians 4:14 is the functioning of the church. And I'm not going to read it all to you. That's a larger passage. But in that context, he says, when every believer plays their part in the body of Christ, it helps the body grow because each individual is growing, right? And I'll read one part from that section, Ephesians 4:15 and 16. He says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. How important Christian fellowship is, right? How important it is that we are meeting together as believers and speaking scripture. And as we speak scripture, it is informing our mind. It is helping us grow and mature. And as we're maturing and growing and no longer remaining infants, we are no longer easily misled and led astray by the things around us. But we are stronger in our faith. That's what Paul is saying. Remain steadfast in the faith. Firm in your faith. But that happens when we are maturing. Make it your focus this year to grow and mature in your faith. And that comes back to God's word. It comes back to being rooted in Christ. There's no other way to mature in your faith. It's not by doing good works and being, you know, being a religious person or being a religious Christian, so to speak. No. It comes back to being vitally connected to Christ, rooted in Him, delighting in His word and being nourished by His word. And as you're doing that, your life will be fruitful. You'll be the most engaged person in the world, loving and caring for people around you, if you are rooted in Christ, no longer misled or not easily misled to stray from Christ. And so as you prepare for this year ahead, make it your aim by the end of the year to say, you know what, I need to grow this year in my faith. I don't want to remain stagnant, the same. I should finish 2022 and I should be able to say, you know what, I've grown as a Christian. I've grown as a Christian. And finally, Paul says in Colossians, he talks about abounding in thanksgiving, right? You see that at the end over there? He says, just as you were taught, then he says, abounding in thanksgiving. We walk in Him by abounding in thanksgiving. Abounding in thanksgiving. Now you might say, Pastor, it's very difficult, you know, to abound in thanksgiving. You should see all the problems in my life. So many issues. Well, Paul knew about that. God knew about that, and Paul knew about that. And Paul, from prison, writes a letter to the Philippian church. And he says, you know, rejoice always. And again, I will say, rejoice. What are you talking about, Paul? What do you mean, rejoice? You know, you're sitting in prison over here. And then he says, well, if you set your mind on the right things, it's going to help you rejoice. And so he says in Philippians 4:8, he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about these things. You know, we spend so much of our time each day, each week, each month and year grumbling and complaining about life, isn't it? So much about people, about situations, we grumble. Imagine if we were to add up all our grumbling and complaining, like the time we spend on it. I have a feeling it might even be a sum total of a few years of life that we have spent complaining and grumbling. What a waste. Sure, life has its difficulties, and it's almost impossible to be grumble-free. But the scriptures encourage us to take everything to the Lord in prayer and to leave it there so that we are free to abound in thanksgiving and rejoicing. We're free to think about the things that are true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and commendable and excellent and worthy of praise. And so the way to abound in thanksgiving is to place all your cares and concerns before the Lord in prayer. He says that in Philippians 4 verse 6, right? Rejoice always, let all your requests be made known to God, right? Present it to God. And so as you grow in your relationship with Christ, you learn to trust Him for more and more things in your life, your marriage, your parenting, your money, your work, your relationships, your studies, your career. You place it before Him. And as you see and experience Him handling these things, you are set free to abound in thanksgiving, to live in thanksgiving. And so let 2022 be a year that is a fragrant offering of thanksgiving this year. The minute your mouth opens and you begin to grumble or complain, say, wait a minute, Chandran, wait a minute. Stop. Stop. God, please handle this. And so let God take care of it, because He can and He knows what to do. And I'm free then to give thanks to Him. I'm free to celebrate and rejoice and abound in thanksgiving. You know, giving thanks in all circumstances. Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I think it's verse 16, 17. He says, give thanks in all circumstances. Giving thanks in all circumstances is an expression of faith in God. It's an expression of faith in God. Because when we give thanks, even in suffering, like Tim Keller did in that message that I read to you, what we are saying is that God knows what He is doing, that He is good, that He is all-powerful, and that God is in control of my life. That's what it is. It's worship when you give thanks to God. When you grumble, it's not worship. It's going to God and saying, Lord, are you sure you know what you're doing? Should I handle it? Or let me handle it? That's what we're saying to God. That's not worship. Giving thanks to God in all circumstances is worship. It's worship. And so as we close this year, close this sermon this morning, make it your focus and aim to walk in Christ by being rooted in Him, built up in Him, immovable in your faith or in the faith, and abounding in thanksgiving. All of this, if you look at these couple of verses, all of these things have to do with your relationship with Jesus. In Him, in the faith, it's all about that, right? And so this year, make it your focus to walk in a deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lots of things will come to keep you busy. You know, the devil's greatest strategy in our life is to keep us busy. It's also our favorite excuse, right? Sorry, Pastor, I couldn't come. I was busy. Yeah, the devil's got you, man. He knows he's got you exactly where he wants you. Stop being so busy with the world and everything else and be rooted and grounded in Christ. I'm not even saying church. I'm saying Christ. Be rooted and grounded in Christ. And I want you to just have a brief, quick look at one verse in verse 28, which Jaya read for us, chapter 1, verse 28. Paul says this. He says, Him we proclaim, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all His energy that He powerfully works in me. Paul is speaking of his own ministry. And he says, my ministry as an apostle and in a way as a pastor to you is to warn and teach and admonish with all wisdom. For what? To present everyone mature in Christ. And this is what I toil for with all my energy. Right? And I read this to you because that's my goal as a pastor in this congregation and as your pastor in this congregation for this year. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an engineer. I don't know much about all your careers and all the things. You guys know much more about all those things than I will ever know. My primary goal is to see that you are mature in Christ. And so I'm going to challenge you and encourage you again and again to come back to Scripture, to come back to prayer, to come back to relationship with Jesus. And all the other things will be sorted out, but that's going to be my focus, because it was Paul's focus. It's the focus of a pastor, of a leader. And again, it comes back to everything else that we've spoken about as well, because I want to see you and myself deeply rooted in Christ, abounding in thanksgiving. May God bless you as you begin 2022 and you focus your life walking in step with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just give you a moment to pray. We've gone way over time, but we'll just take a moment to quietly commit what you've heard to the Lord, and then we'll sing a closing song before we disperse this morning.